Choir, you sounded wonderful today. I appreciate the Lord showing up through song already and through at least one testimony through the voice of Sister Laura. And if you've got a testimony or a song that needs to be done, you better jump on it. We're getting ready to get into God's Word. The book of John, chapter number 21, if you will, this morning, with the Lord as our help, we're going to bring a message this morning. God gave me this message before we ever left the church on Wednesday night. Been pondering into my heart the whole time. So many times we always look around and we're wondering what in the world's going on. I do. I look around. I'm thinking, what in the world? Why would somebody do that? Or why would somebody do this? And, some of the stuff I see, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. It just doesn't. And humanity has changed in a moment of time. I don't remember it being this way 10 years ago. Maybe it was, and I just wasn't involved in it. But back in the olden days, you would have gossip columns, what they called them, in the newspapers. Man, we've got gossip columns on steroids now. Social media has taken that thing to an extreme level. Some of you are guilty. Some of you take a picture of everywhere you go and everybody you're with, everything you eat, everything you do. Most of the young girls and boys' selfies are now taken in a bathroom. Why? Because they've got a mirror in there. I mean, it's crazy. It's an insane world. Well, I want to bring a message today that the Lord put upon my heart, and it's actually a picture of kind of where we're at and what's going on. The Lord's wanting to bless, but Satan's wanting to hinder. God's wanting to help, and Satan's trying to harm. That's just the way that it works. But anyway, in the book of John, we'll stand in just a minute and give reverence to the reading of the scripture. But there's a discourse going on. And as you well know, that Peter did deny the Lord the three times that he said he would. And we're come up to the back of the book of John now. And we're talking with, there's three men in the picture. One of them is Peter, one of them is John, and one of them is Jesus Christ. And we see this conversation taking place. And as we look at this, it's almost as if Simon Peter wants to post something on Facebook. It's almost as if Simon Peter wants to go out to Twitter. Or it's almost as if Simon Peter, he's worried about John. He's all worried about something that he has no business worrying about. So I want to title this message this morning, what is it to you? What is it to you? What is it to us as a church? It's everything that we've got belongs to God. Let's nail that down first and foremost. I've seen churches that take on all kinds of different projects, maybe a building project. Maybe they, like Bethel, I think that those of you affiliated with Bethel, don't they support like 100+ missionaries? I believe their missionary total over there is well over 100 missionaries. And then you've got these other ones that are not missionary minded that are sitting back and looking over there across the way saying, what are they doing and why are they doing that? Don't we have homeless people in Wilkes County? Don't we have needy people right here in the community? Don't we have lost people in Wilkes County? And they wonder then why in the world we would give money to a missionary that would go to the Honduras or Zambia or wherever they might go. And we sit back and wonder why are they doing that? And I'm sure that we at Calvary Baptist Church, whenever we do certain things, there's no doubt in my mind that whenever we take undertakings, there's probably somebody sitting back right now saying, why in the world are they doing that? Or why are they even going that direction? I'm telling you, we follow him, and that's what the bottom line is. And if they're following him, and bless God, we ought to just pray for them in that endeavor. We ought to pray that God will bless their efforts, and we should stop worrying about everybody else and start worrying about us. So we will stand and give reverence to the reading of God's word this morning. It is good to be here. If you count yourself a visitor, I pray God's already made you welcome, because truly you are welcome. This is his house. I'm his man. This is his word. We're among his people. So you just mind him today and everything will be in order. And that's what the Bible teaches us. Let everything that's done be done decently and in order. So I want you to think about your own life this morning and where you're at with Christ, and not only where you're at with Christ, but where you are in the world. If you're in the world and you're not in Christ, then you're just definitely lost. And I hope that you can get in Christ. But if you're saved and sealed, Brother Troy, I hope that you stay real close to the cross. And you'll hear some things about your position in Christ a little bit later as the Lord will allow us to preach. But in the book of John, 1 John, John chapter number 21, and we'll pick up our reading in verse number 15 and just read the remaining part of that chapter. Everybody found their place, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death that he should glorify God. And when he had thus spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, and here comes some of the text verses, the next three particularly. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. And this is talking about John. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast his supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus did not unto him, said not unto him, that he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifies of things and wrote these things, and we know what, know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. I'm going to ask if I can get Brother Joe Knight to bless our scripture reading, and then we're going to keep going with what is that to you? Some of you is already fanning, you're already getting hot. We've had three estimates done on the church about replacing some of the air conditioners in here with the expansion project we're about ready to undergo. We've kind of drug our feet just a little bit about spending huge amounts of money in here. But anyway, it's going to be fixed, so just bear with us. I know some of you has even offered to put in a little extra change back there. I won't mention Chris Nichols by name or anything, but preacher, it's hot in here. It is hot, and it'd be a good time to preach on hell when it gets so hot, but we won't do that today. But let me just say, God knows our future. And he knows Peter's future. He knows John's future. He knows my future. Brother Woody knows your future. But in this passage of scripture, about verse number 19, he even foretold the death in which Peter would die. And Peter immediately, rather than thinking about that the Lord had just said, I mean, if the Lord just told me, Brother Varun, that you're going to go by some other man's hand where you wouldn't normally go, and you're going to be stretched out in a manner that's not like I was stretched out, and signifying what death, I might be questioning him about that. I mean, seriously, I would get honest about, Lord, what'd you just say right there? You just told me that something's about to take place, that I'm going to walk in a different area, and I'm going to be crucified upside down. I'm going to have this stuff done to me. Brother, I'd be worried about that. I'm honest with you. Brother Greg, I'd get real concerned about my relationship with the Lord, especially if the Lord just told me something of that magnitude. But that's not what Peter did. Peter, hearing that, turns right around. He's talking to the Lord, and he turns around and he sees John. And automatically, brother, it's almost as if Peter's heart was filled with some kind of a questioning manner. And bless God, we shouldn't question God about every single thing going on. God's God. I'm not saying it's wrong to question God. All through the scripture, we see people question God. Even Jesus Christ himself questioned God when he was on the cross. He said, Why hast thou forsaken me? But anyway, it's almost as if Peter's heart was filled with some type of envy or jealousy or something. And he looks over and he said, What about John? He said, What about this man? What's going to become of him? And bless God, Brother John, all of a sudden the Lord said, what is that to thee? If he lives till I come back, or if he never dies, what is that to thee? What is it to me if the Lord blesses Lewis and Margaret, but all of a sudden it seems like I'm not being blessed? What is it if he blesses me, but yet you continue to struggle? My friends, God is God. He knows the future, and he knows what's going to be best for every single one of us. He knows what you can handle and what I can handle. He knows what it's going to take for you to be exalted or for you to be abased and brought low. He knows what it's going to take. He's never given me millions of dollars, because I am sure in my heart that it would change me if I had millions of dollars. You can say it wouldn't change me. You better believe if you inherited a huge sum of money right now, Brother John, all of a sudden you have went living basically by basic means from paycheck to paycheck, as most people do in and around this area, and you've had sufficient funds. Most of your needs have been met and many of your wants, and then all of a sudden you fall into a pot of money. Brother John, it's going to change you. God knows what we need, and he gives us what we need, and it's not up to somebody else to question what this one has or that one has, or what this one does and that one does. Now, that's not speaking of the manner of the lost. Brother Woody, we always need to be concerned about the lost. We need to be concerned about their soul and the mortality of that soul, or immortality of that soul. We need to be worried about them, Brother Woody, not so much about what they're doing, except that we can get the gospel to them. But this is talking about two of the ones that loved the Lord and that were with him. And old Peter here, he looks over at the Lord and he said, what about John? You can see that in verse number 21, said Peter saith to John, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So I want you to look at this morning for just a little bit. We would do well to worry about ourselves a whole lot more and worry about others a whole lot less. So here we are. It was then that the Lord looked over at Peter and said, what is that to thee? In other words, Peter, don't you have enough to worry about? It could be, Greg, do you not have enough to worry about? It could be all the way to the back. Buddy, do you not have enough to worry about? Does Buddy not have enough to answer for? Do I not have enough to answer for? Do you not already have enough to stand before God for? If we're going to be accountable for every idle word, and that's the Bible teaches us that we will stand before God and we will give an account, Brother Woody, of every idle word. Is that not enough, being that you got enough to worry about without worrying about your neighbor? The Lord says, what is that to thee? What's that to you? I want to think about these thoughts this morning just a little bit. I'm going to be honest enough. I got enough to answer for myself without worrying and having to answer for the likes of others. You said you better believe you do. I do, because the book of the Hebrews talks about in chapter number 13, verse number 17, that there's something on me that I'm going to give an account for that you won't have to. The Bible says for you to obey them that have rule over you, and that they watch for your souls, and that what? That they must give an account. I'm going to give an account not only for the deeds done in my body, be they good, be they bad, at the judgment seat of Christ, Brother Archie, but I'm going to also give an account for every idle word, but then I'm going to give an account for how I led this church over the tenure that I've been the pastor here. Man, that's stand up. That's honest report before God, and I know that it's honest. And that's why some of you say, why are you worried, preacher? Why are your hands are shaking? Why are you so trembling? Why are you not? Bless God, I don't never want to get up here that I'm not nervous, because my flesh is flesh and my spirit is spirit. I belong to him. But Brother John, he's going to use this carnal. He's going to use this fleshly to purport and deliver his word to a people that really need to hear it. And that the people probably going to hear it is, there's Mark beating us up again. I hope not. I want you to see in this, whenever Peter asked the Lord that, and he said, and Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. I want to show you a few things that what God desires for Peter, for John, and for me, and for Troy and Preston and every single one of us. And then I want to show you what the devil does. This is a devil easily distracted Simon Peter. You see how quickly, Brother Tam, he's over here talking to the Lord. And for each of those three denials, he was asked a question. Do you love me? Do y'all love me? Dot, do you love me? Now, what would happen? Y'all don't know me, so you say, no, we'd love for you to shut up. How would that make you feel, Brother James, if I come to you and I said, James, I got a question for you. Can I talk to you? Can I talk to you in private? Any one of you. And I said, Seth, do you love me? if I come to you and I said, Larry, do you love me? What automatically happens when I come to you is I say, Jerry, do you love me? That puts a question mark almost immediately around your devotion, around your love and your devotion to the church and to the Lord's work. Maybe you despise me as a person, but bless God, you've got to love me as the man of God that God has put here. You may not love me in this body that I'm in, but you've got to love the pastorate. You've got to love that position, Brother Daniel. And if I come to you and I said, do you love me? And you said, yes, I love you. And then I gave you a charge or a command. That's what he did to Peter. And then turn right around after I give you the command to feed my lambs. Turn around and maybe it was instantaneous in the Bible. But how about if I come back to you a day later and said, Tam, do you love me? You could say, preacher, didn't you just ask me that yesterday? I told you yesterday that I love you. I say, well, if you love me, then do this for me. To Peter, it was feed my sheep. To you, it's going to be something different. To me, it's going to be something different. To every one of y'all, it's going to be something different. But he comes to him the third time and says, Archie, do you love me? Or I come to you and I say, Archie, do you love me? And you said, preacher, you've asked me that three times now. You're starting to wear on me. Is there something between me and you that would lead you to believe that I'd anything different than loving you? Well, let me tell you, it was in Peter's heart, and the Lord knew that it was in Peter's heart. Peter was more concerned about John. Peter was more concerned about everything else rather than the ministry that God had placed in his heart to do. And you will see that as I keep preaching this message. Peter was all about God's business at times, but he was so spontaneous, that spontaneity in him. He was the one that when the Lord come back walking on the seashore, where was Peter? He was out there fishing again, but there's something uniquely different about Peter than everybody else. And what was that? He was naked. He was in a fisher's boat with other fishermen, and he was in there naked. Now, let me tell you, Peter, to me, he's just a different kind of a character when we see that in the Bible. And the Lord knew what was in Peter's heart. The Lord knew what he was going to do. And told him and signified unto what death that he would die. And then he goes right to Peter, and Peter said, well, what about John? What about Ben over here? What about old Brian Ford, Lord? What's he going to do? I should not worry about what Brian Ford does in Christ. I should worry about what I do because I got enough to answer for myself. But there are some things. In verse number 22, he said it at the end of 19. He said, follow me. And then at the end of 22, he says, follow thou me. Let me tell you, a following Christ is different than trying to get out front and lead him. We can't lead God. We can't lead Christ. We can't lead this church. We are to follow him. And that means don't get too far behind him that we can't see him anymore. Otherwise, you're just going to be looking for tracks. You're going to be looking for shadows. And bless God, this Bible is full of types and shadows of Christ. Brother Woody, I don't need those. I've got them in the old book. I need to get close enough to him now to see him. I don't need to just follow his tracks. I don't need to just follow his types and shadows. I want to see him for who he is. And I can't follow him properly from way back yonder. I got to get close if I'm going to follow him. But that's what he wants out of us. That's what he told Simon Peter. He said, follow me. He said, I want you to be a follower of me. Look, he said it twice. The latter part of 19, then he said it in the latter part of number 22. He said, follow me. Stay close enough to see me, Peter. Don't hesitate to go where I go. If I'm going there, Peter, you follow me. Paul even tells Timothy later, he said, you follow me. You be a follower of me as I follow Christ. And I can say that as a pastor, as we go for God. Y'all follow the lead and the leadership of this church as we go together for God. And I'm telling you, Brother Lewis, great things are going to be accomplished down the line off of the cause of Christ. But that's one of the things that God desires, is that we would be one of his followers. Verses number 15, 16, and 17, he tells Peter over and over to feed my lambs, to feed my sheep, to feed my sheep. In other words, he's saying, be faithful, Peter. Don't worry about John. Don't worry about what's going on in others' lives. Peter, I've given you an assignment to feed my sheep. In the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter number 15, and verse number 51, it says these words, to be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, so as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He's saying, be faithful to what I've told you to do. Yes. Be a follower. But Peter, I've given you three times the definition of what you're doing. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, and feed my sheep. You say, well, did Peter do that? You better believe he did. You take the book of Acts, that's recorded by Luke. And you start seeing through there. And the Bible said that the Lord saved such as should be saved by how many? 4,000 on this account. Who was the one doing the preaching? That was Peter. What was he doing? And what did he tell us in the book of 1st and 2nd Peter? He said, I am an elder. He said, now I exhort you to feed the flock of God, which is among you, as an overseer, as an ensample to the flock, because I also am an elder. I know what I'm talking about. He got the direct charge. We're getting the indirect charge through the word of God. But be a follower of God and be faithful to that he's got for you to do. Quit worrying so much about what your neighbor does. Don't we do that? Cindy, have we ever been guilty of taking a picture of our food and posted on social media that we're now here or there? Lord, I hope we have it. I don't think we ever have. Some of y'all, some of us, we always have to tell where we're at, who we're with, and what we're eating, if it was good, if it was bad. And brother, well, that's just the way that it is. Why? Because in this instantaneous world we live in, everybody got to know everything about everybody. And if you ain't quite measured up, golly, they went to that place. We would never eat there. Well, good for you. Maybe they enjoy botulism and they like to go there. Maybe they enjoy food poisoning. Maybe they've always got good service and you just happen to get bad service on a certain day. But why are we so consumed with what everybody else is doing? And that's not just in religiosity. That's not just in the church scene. Brother, that's not just in your secular life, but it's everywhere. We look around and we wonder how come that one just did this or how come that one just did that, speaking of churches. We just need to be faithful to what God's got for us to do. We'd be a whole lot better off if we worried about that. In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse number 41, you see Peter preaching. You see 4,000 saved in verse number 41. And then we have those wonderful, wonderful words in chapter number 4 that Peter was doing the preaching in chapter 4, verse number 12. Those are the words of Peter. And it says that there's none other name given under heaven whereby men that they must be saved. That's the words of Peter. Peter's preaching. And we have those beautiful passages of scripture in the early parts of the book of Acts. It was Peter that went with John up to the temple when they met the lame man laid at the gate. I'm talking about Brother John. Don't just be faithful and don't just be a follower, but be fruitful while you're working for him. Bless God. Reach somebody else for the cause of Christ. You've got something to give them. Peter said, I don't have money in my pocket. Silver and gold have I none. I just don't have what you're asking for, but such as I have give I thee. Bless God, be fruitful and lead somebody else to Christ. Amen. Let me ask you that already saved. Kaylee, do you love the Lord? Are you saved? Wouldn't you want everybody else to feel that way? Is it being saved the greatest thing since sliced bread? I don't know what it was before sliced bread that was so good. That's the term we use. But Brother Joe, I love being saved. Are you saved? Amen. Are you saved? Remember. Isn't it great? Man. To know that if you pillow your head tonight and you don't wake up on tomorrow's light, guess what? You get to be with him. Right. Is that not great?
Right.
It's not some fairy tale or fable, Brother Tam. Do you enjoy your salvation? Bless God, you should. Why shouldn't everybody enjoy their salvation? And why shouldn't you want everybody else to have that elation and joy of soul that you've got? Be fruitful. Yes. Then tell somebody else about how good God is. Don't tell them about how bad they are. They already know. Tell them about how good God is. Be fruitful for the Lord. We could go through the book of Acts, early Acts. I'm not going to do it for sake of the time that we've got. But let me say this. Those are some of the things that God desires. Is us to be a follower, to be faithful to him, to be fruitful for him. And then as we look back at that verse and he says, Simon Peter, he said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? What is that to thee? Stay focused. Stay focused on what God's called you to do. You said, God hasn't called me anything to do. Then sit there and wait for your orders. Where's my military members? Raise your hands up. Brother Dennis, didn't y'all? I know there's more than that. We got a bunch of veterans in here. Didn't y'all like sitting around waiting on your orders? I did. I wonder, where am I going to go? I was getting ready to be deployed, brother. I didn't know anything, but I knew she was back here. Right? Cole, I got her down here. Cole Slaw, Cole B, Cole Train. She's here, and I'm in Texas. And I put in for Myrtle Beach. Woohoo! I'm going to be stationed at Myrtle Beach. That's what I put in for, Air Force, Myrtle Beach. Myrtle Beach has got an Air Force base. They don't now, but they did then. I'm going back 100,000 years ago. And I put in for Robbins and Dobbins and Seymour Johnson and Pope and Langley up at Virginia Beach. What was I doing? I wanted to be in the South. Why? Because she's in the South. I wanted to be in the South. And they gave me South Dakota. You got to love the government. The only part they saw that I wanted was the South. But we had a saying out there. Why not Minot? Minot was in North Dakota. We got in South Dakota. It was a whole lot better in South Dakota than it was in North Dakota. At least we only saw negative 20. They saw negative 50. But why worry about John? Just be focused on what God's got for you to do. Focus on what he's got for you to do. Quit worrying about them. And until you get your marching orders, until he tells you where you're going to go and what you're going to do, whether you're going to be a missionary, a Sunday school teacher, eventually a deacon or a choir leader, a superintendent of the church, whatever it might be, stay faithful and stay focused on what God's got for you to do. Quit worrying about John. Stand up. Right here's John. How would I lead this church if I'm always looking at John? Lord, what about John? What's up with John? I appreciate you. You've always had my back. He told me something a little while back. He said, he pulled me off in private. This is a private conversation between me and you, and I don't care that I tell it. I've had those private conversations with some of you others lately. John said, I want you to know something. He said, I sure do respect you as my pastor. And he said, I sure do love you. Brother John, that meant something to me. And there's others around here that told me things such as this, that when Brother Feldman left, I didn't know if I could ever love another just like him. But God's gave us you, and it's exactly that same way. I love you, Pastor. I'm telling you, God's given me orders here, and I'm going to stay focused on what God's got for me to do while I'm here. You worry about where you're at and your next marching order. Until then, just stay focused. Stay faithful. Follow him and be fruitful while you're there. That's what God desires. Amen. He kept looking at Peter. He looks over at Peter and said, what's that to you? That's 2018 lingo. What's that to you? That's kind of like, what mean you these stones? And that little kid said, what's up with these rocks? Brother Woody, whenever he said, what is that to thee? In 2018, Woody, it's like the Lord took up and said, Peter, what's that to you if he lives till I come? What's that to you? Quit worrying about John. You worry about Peter. Pete, listen to me. You worry about Pete, and I worry about John. You just follow me and be faithful, be fruitful, and stay focused on what I've got for you to do. Now here is what Satan desires. Satan wants you to be just like Peter right here. He can't get Peter, so if you're saved, Miss Regina, and I believe you are, our spirits bear witness, and I love you for that. But you know what? Satan can't get your soul. Satan can't get you, Brother James. You're saved and you're sealed into that day of redemption. Satan cannot get you, Miss Connie. Honey, you're sealed. You're his. No man can pluck them from my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. No man can pluck. Nobody's going to steal you out. So since Satan can't get you, what does he do? He says, I'm going to distract them. I'm going to get James looking across the aisle over here at this one. And I'm going to get John looking over there at that one. And I'll get Jody turned on Clayton. Jody said, I will arise. I'll be the chairman of the board. I'll do this and I'll do that. And it gets our minds all bumfuzzled with what we should be doing and shouldn't be doing. That's Satan, Brother Ben. He's tried to distract us. Amen. Simon Peter was distracted, right? He said, what about John? The Lord said, don't worry about John. You worry about Peter. But that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to distract us. He wants to deceive us through his lies and trickery. He tries to get us to believe that no one cares. How many times has he told me that? He said, preacher, that church is going to be empty. There won't be nobody there to hear you. That booger lied to me. The last great lie that he told me that I bought into was the fact that last August, Brother Alan Barker had called me to come down to Northwood Baptist Church, and they had that whatever, the awesome August, I think they call it. And he said, preacher, I want you to come preach for me, and I want you to bring your choir. The devil told me, brother, said there won't be nobody down there to sing. I'm going to go down there with 12 people in my choir. Tama. When I got there, I found out what a huge liar that old booger was. Brother, well, he tried to deceive me into thinking there ain't going to be nobody here. He distracts us, but he also deceives us. Brother Archie, he said, there ain't going to be nobody down here, preacher. And I got down there. And bless God, I think that everybody that was ever affiliated with Calvary came. And not only did they come, they all got in the choir. Those of you that couldn't carry a tune in a peck bucket with a lid on it were up there making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Man, I was blown away. We had more people than they did, and I was excited. Why? Because the devil had deceived me into thinking there won't be nobody down here. That's what this devil does, Brother John. He wants to distract you. He wants you to look at Lewis. Then he wants to deceive you into thinking what you're doing don't count. It doesn't even matter, preacher. It doesn't matter what you're doing or what they're doing. Just you go and live for the day. Just do it. The Nike swaths. Just do it. If it feels good, do it. Satan's just, he's a master deceiver. If you were to go to 1 Peter chapter number 5, everybody quotes this, and if you want to, you can quote it, or I'll just turn over there and read it. He wants to discredit our works. He wants to destroy us. It's all through here. Peter warned of these things in chapter number 5 of 1 Peter. This is the book that he went on to write. And when he said, be vigilant, to be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. What's he trying to do, Brother Tame? He wants to discredit the works of God. And he wants to do it by discrediting the work of this church. He wants to discredit the work of this pastor. He wants to discredit the work of every single one of us, Brother Woody. That's what he does. And then he's going to try his best. Turn to John 10:10. And still speaking, Peter warned us of this deceitful devil. But it's reminding us again in the book of John, chapter 10, verse number 10. Here he's referred to as the thief. I can't stand a thief. I can't. I have no use for a thief. Before you steal from me, come to me and ask me. It's likely I'll give it to you. If it's within reason, I can. I would do that before I would have you steal from me. Just don't do that. But Brother Woody, what Satan's doing, the Bible said the thief comes to do what? The first thing that he says, he wants to come in. The thief comes, but what, Brother Greg? To kill. What's he trying to kill? He wants to kill your testimony, Ryan. He wants to kill that joy that's inside of you. He wants to grind you down. As he said, Simon Peter, Satan had desired that he might have you, that he could sift you. He wants to kill your testimony, Brother Tam, that somebody in the community would say, yes, what I thought. He wasn't worth the salt in his body to start with. But he didn't just come to kill. And to steal your joy. How many times has he tried to steal your joy? You know, if you're not real careful, he'll do just that. But then he also comes in the latter part of that same verse in 10:10 of the book of John. Is that he might come to destroy us. But aren't you glad for the latter part of that same verse? I'm glad for that. He said the thief comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But then he comes in right behind that. What'd he say? What'd he say? He said, I come that you might have life. And not just life, but life, not just abundantly, but more abundantly. I like abundant living. I like abundant life. I like eternal life. In the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I gave my life for him because he gave his life for me, Brother Tim. Amen. Our verse in Galatians 2:20 tells that. It's just a text verse that Cindy and I have claimed. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, Brother Woody. The devil's going to try his best to discredit that work, to deceive me into thinking that Archie don't care, these people don't care. Church is going to be empty tonight. There won't be nobody there. And when they do come, they're not hungry. They're going to be filled up on the junk of this world. They're going to be satiating their palates with the things of this world. They're not hungry for the things of God. And then I get in here and then somebody goes out and says, preacher, boy, I needed that message. Preacher, I sure didn't need that. Brother Varun will be listening to the message. And he, I don't know how him and Scott got together, but he got a little thumb drive about that long. He's got every message that I've ever preached at this church on that one little old thumb drive and driving down the road. He'll bring up a message, Miss Jan, from 2009 or something. He'll say, preacher, I sure did enjoy that message. I said, what was that? He says, it was a message you preached on this. And I'm like, wow, still blessing.
Amen, brother.
That word's still blessing. It never loses anything. Amen. Going back to our text, how focused are you? Are you easily distracted? Boy, I am. I get so distracted so easily, so fast. And I wish that it wasn't that way, but it sure is. Be a whole lot easier if we worry less about others and start worrying more about our own relationship with the Lord. Folks, do you realize that we've got a Christ that atoned for your sins? You said a Christ, yes. His name is Jesus, but he is the Messiah. He is Jesus the Christ. And Brother Tim, aren't you glad that we've got a Christ that died for our sins, amen, that cares for us? Aren't you glad, brother, we got a Christ that atoned for our sins on Calvary? Aren't you glad, Brother Woody, we got a constant, amen, companion? He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will go with thee even unto the ends of the world. He said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Bless God, we've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And bless God, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, brother. And aren't you glad for that? Amen. We don't just have a Christ that atoned for us and a constant companion, Brother Woody. But bless God, we've got a chastising Savior that whenever we do walk contrary to His Word, He gently brings us back into the fold. And while we were mourning and while we were grieving, He is our comforter. And while we're yet still lost and undone, He is a convicting Spirit. We got a lot going for us.
That's right.
And we're worried about what John's doing.
Yeah, go ahead.
And we're worried, what about John? What about John? What's up with him? What's he going to do? What is that to thee? We got a lot going for us.
That's right.
Why are we worrying about this one or that one? Well, we ought to get focused. We ought to get our hearts around what I'm trying to preach today. I know that much. I'm going back to our text. Peter seeing him say to Jesus, what shall this man do? Did you ever back talk your daddy?
Unfortunately.
How'd that work out for you? Oh, it did. Did you ever back talk daddy? Not really. Why? For fear. What's the Bible say that fear what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, of knowledge and instruction. And Peter looks over to the Lord and says, what about John? I almost hear the disgust. What about John? What about him? That one that's been laying his head in your bosom.
Yeah.
That one that keeps referring to himself as the one that Jesus loved. John was referring to himself. Yeah. And Peter, with just a little bit of that angst in his body, said, what about him? And the Lord says, what is that to thee? I'm asking this morning. How focused are you? Are you focused on the works of Christ or the works of Troy? Or the works of Joe? Well, Joe got to preach and I didn't. So, Ryan got to be this and I didn't. So, you get your position with Christ right, he might say, okay, now it's your turn. I'm reminded of this. My veterans are in here again. Dennis, Brother Dennis, if you volunteered, Brother Gary, if you volunteered, what happened when you volunteered in the military? Yeah, they'll give you something to do. Anybody drive a truck? Yeah, grew up on a farm. Well, come here and get this wheelbarrow. Got 10,000 pounds of gravel we're wanting to move. Brother Woody, but if you'll make yourself available unto the Lord, He will use you.
Yes.
He will. The Bible said that we don't work to please ourselves, but we work the one that called us to be the soldier. That's the one we're trying to please. All over the house, we're going to conclude this portion of the service with Brother Scott coming forward to get us a song. Let me just ask you, what's that to you? Do we not have enough problems to worry about in our own? I do. I have way more than as you know, I work a full-time job. I've got burdens and problems there. Take on the work of this church, of this magistrate. I don't have time to help Brother Brady run Pleasant Grove. No, Tim, I don't have time to help Brother Donnie over there at Bethel. You say, well, you could go run a revival. I'm not talking about running a revival or working some evangelistic ministry or work. Brother Tim, I'm talking about the daily grind that these other pastors, I don't have time to deal with them. I've got my own set of problems. I got my own burdens. You've got problems. I got problems. Why? Because the Bible said we should bear one another's burdens. Is that not right? So if my burden's heavy, yours is heavy. Yours is heavy, mine's heavy. Yours is light, mine should be light. I don't have time to keep looking across the bridge and wondering what they're doing over yonder. Do you run your fire station that way? You look over and say, I wonder what they're doing. I think we can get a bigger truck than that. No, you work with what you've got. You work within the means you've got. You work with what God's given you to do. And that's the way that it works. Peter says, what about John? As we stand over the house, I'm going to ask you, have you worried about everybody else but yourself? The Bible even talks about the busybodies that mind everybody's business but their own. Wasn't necessarily so much that Peter was a busybody. It's just that inquisitive nature of who Peter was. What about John? What's that to thee? What's that matter to you? But Jake got a new four-wheeler. I want a new four-wheeler. What is that to thee? Now you got to work two jobs, pay for it. You willing to work two jobs? Not really. Well, then enjoy your old four-wheeler. Spiritually speaking, I heard Brother Justin and Miss Lindsay last week, or week before, I believe it was last week, wasn't it? Last Sunday. It was last Sunday. They stood up here with the... They come out and they said, Preacher, we finally got enough to do the Bible school. So thank you that signed up. But Justin was getting worried. He said, Preacher, we don't have enough people. This is a week ago before that. And Preacher, we ain't got enough people to do Bible school. We're going to call it off. What are we going to do? I said, Brother Justin, it's always this way. And it is. It always comes together at the last minute. It's the same way with the Christmas plays. You don't think them Christmas plays are ever going to come together. And then on the night of the Christmas play performance, man, there it is. Wonderful, beautiful. Even those that mess up, nobody knows it because we don't know the lines. We don't. But Justin was so happy because he had people to sign up. He didn't say, hey, should we go over to Bethel and get some? Should we go down yonder and get some? Should we do this? Brother John, we stay focused on what's at hand. Take advantage of what God's put right in front of us and not worry about what somebody else is doing. Do you have enough to answer for? I do. As we sing, Brother Scott's got us a song. If you're here today and you're lost, it might be that you need to come and be saved. You say, well, I'm not really in Christ. How can I follow him if I'm not in Christ? Well, I'm asking you this. Wouldn't you like to start following him? Wouldn't you like to be faithful and be fruitful? Wouldn't you like to have those things? Or are you going to keep letting the devil beat you up and distract you? Discredit your testimony. Deceive you into believing a lie. You realize he is a liar and the father of all lies. If he says it's wrong, if the Lord says it's wrong, it's wrong. I don't care what kind of a pretty picture. The devil comes back and said, it's not really the way it was. The devil did that early in the Bible when he put a question mark around God's word concerning Adam and Eve. Did God really say that? You better believe God said it. If God said it, that settles it. Brother Joe, you ever heard somebody say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. God said it, and that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, that's up to you. Some are praying now at the altar. Brother Scott's getting ready to sing. If you need to come, come. If you need to pray.